Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fane, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
Hi, Lily Ho there, neighborino. Good morning.
Don't ever do Ned Flanders again.
I didn't really try to do it. If I was really trying to do it, I'd have done some other things to my body and contorted myself.
Understood.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the Mark Hoke Show. I am the aforementioned one, Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. We are excited to bring you another terrific hour of pro wrestling news and entertainment.
Been a hell of a weekend in pro wrestling.
Jiminy Christmas. The fun never stops, does it?
Not at all.
Unbelievable. Well, let me introduce you to that other tag team and try managing these two goofballs. Yikes.
All right, Captain Lou.
I have no rubber bands in my face, but I may have to get Jimmy Hart's megaphone out. Maybe. You two guys get out of control. No? just looking at me like, oh, my God. You know, this is the interesting part about doing a show on Sunday morning. Man, it's either we're all in or we're all out. Either way, it's a quality entertainment.
Absolutely.
Andrew Fish Fane, everybody. What's going on, Fish?
Good morning. Yes, you know, like I said, crazy wrestling weekend. Great night Friday night watching Booker T's Reality of Wrestling. They did put on a hell of a show down at the MGM. Last night, Impact, their pay-per-view, and tonight, Survivor Series.
Yeah, got a great weekend of wrestling. And speaking of another great weekend of wrestling, boy, I'll tell you what, if you have not made plans to join Future Stars of Wrestling's great event for four cage matches on this card, including Hammerstone.
And Brian Cage. In a cage.
Yikers.
No, they are not in the cage.
Oh, they're not in the cage.
So it's not cage squared at that point.
Oh, but I thought they were in the cage.
No, we have, that'll be the main event of before the cage goes up.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
But if Brian Cage is wrestling, though, does that still make it a cage match?
It does. So technically it is five cage matches.
So I'm right. Joe DeFalco, everybody. Joe, what's going on?
I am shockingly, I'm awake, doing pretty good. You know, we're a little more than halfway through the weekend because we do have Impact tapings Sunday and Monday that we got to be a part of. So,
yeah, gonna be a great time. I think I'm gonna try and get down tonight.
It was packed yesterday.
Yeah, I would imagine it's looked like it was a pretty good show. But before we get into Impact, I do want to give you a chance to talk about what you have going on this weekend. Because I tell you what, after going, enjoying Booker T's Reality of Wrestling promotion, man, I am psyched. I'm even more psyched to come to your show on next Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was very impressed with the talent of Booker T's guys. They rank right up there with the best guys we have. They look professional, they look the part, and they can work. You know what I mean? I've heard of them, and I know some of the guys on there, but, this Titus Alexander had a really good match with Kenny King, and it was like, I've known the name, I've heard good things about Titus Alexander, and he was just one of numerous guys. One of our wrestlers, Brett the Threat, he got the opportunity to get beat up by the Boogeyman and have a verbal confrontation with Disco Inferno. And this kid is, basically in the first year of his wrestling career. So, it's a great opportunity for him. But no escape next Saturday, front row. We probably got about five front row tickets left. And as you said, four steel cage matches featuring, Chris Bay and Ice Williams, who've been going at it for a while, as well as the Nevada State Championship on the line inside the cage. We have a blood feud between two best friends that were tag team champions that are the future of the business, Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake. And then we're doing an escape the cage match with six guys. So it's going to, instead of trying to fight in the cage, these guys are trying to fight to get out of the cage. So And then, you know, we could have rested on our laurels, but, you know, we're bringing in the former MLW champion, the guy who hosted Natural Born Killers for us, Tom Lawler.
Oh, yeah.
Going against our guy Graves, has been with us for a long time, jiu-jitsu champion. You know, it's legit, like, who is the toughest guy, you know, between those two? They're, you know, Sandra Moon, you know, quick rising women's champion. She's wrestling against Diva Van, who has been collecting belts all over the West Coast. So, you know, from top to bottom, we have a tag team title match is going to open our show with Death Proof, who just won, you know, some titles out in California. But they're taking on Toko Uso, which features Toa Leona, who's been seen on AEW Dark recently. They have, you know, we're hoping we don't lose him soon. And his partner, Juicy. And Juicy's kind of really made himself a name over the last year. I guess he flew himself down to GCW to help set up a ring in, like, Indiana. And they gave him a spot, and he kind of caught on. Big 450-pound, you know, athletic Samoan. And taking on two of our other mainstays, Shogun and Hiro, in a three-way match for the tag title. So it's like, there's not even a match that it's like, oh, okay, we could take a breath, we can head to the bar, get some food, whatever. It's like, the only time is in between the setup of Brian Cage and Hammerstone after their match to, you know, chill as we set up the ring inside Diversion Amusements.
So get over there. And, of course, tickets, fswvegas.com. Should be an awesome time.
That pre-Cage main event of Hammerstone versus Brian Cage should just be absolutely incredible.
I can't wait. That is going to be something special to see. So,
and then we got a couple other big shows coming in. And, you know, I just signed Trey Miguel to a couple shows. We got Davey Richards coming. So we're still working on guys like Jay Lethal and the Briscoes. Like, we're really looking over the next couple of months to basically bring some of the best professional wrestlers to Vegas.
And, you know, and I'm going to tie this all together in a second. But I did want to mention, you know, some of the, you know, thank Booker T for everything all week.
Without a doubt. It's just amazing.
You know, doing the show and then the hospitality that he and his team gave us at the event was just phenomenal. I mean, first class all the way. And you know, as Joe mentioned, there is some serious talent on that. And I think the replay is going to be, the video is going to be up on YouTube, I think at 2 o'clock today. And I would highly recommend you go watch that. Guys, like the match that Brian Keith and Ryan Davidson had.
Just amazing.
Oh my God. I mean, Ryan Davidson doing that corkscrew splash, and he's a bigger guy.
Off the top rope.
It was just, yeah, it lit the house up.
And the triple threat main event was fantastic as well.
Yeah, and Mysterious Q, I like that guy.
He's a fast rising star, main event guy. You know, Danny Limelight, he's going to be in the Escape the Cage match also.
Yeah,
awesome.
And I got to meet Danny, and what a great guy. I really enjoyed getting to talk to him, and you know, he's been performing around the world, and hopefully his ankle's doing okay. It looked like he kind of turned it a little bit.
Oh yeah,
so hopefully he's all healthy and ready to roll. but I wanted to, before, you know, we get into Survivor Series and those cuts and all that stuff, the independent scene with what's gone on with Ring of Honor and all these people getting released from WWE, and you're seeing, you know, a lot of crossover between people that are working Dark and Elevation with AEW, also still doing independent matches. Joe, do you see an opening here to do something where independent promotions could ally themselves a little bit and maybe do something like recreating the NWA days? Or is there too much politics involved in, you know, coordination to do something like that? I'm just curious, because it seems like there's so much talent out there now, and, you know, you get to see a show like Booker's, or you get to a show like yours, and, you know, there's people like that all over the country that are just, you know, doing great promotions that are, and a lot of terrific wrestlers. Is there any way with the, what seems like an opening now, to do something like that where you guys could all start tying together a little bit?
Well, yes and no. Like, the politics is insanity, because now talking with Trey Miguel, he's the X Division champion. Now, if he wrestles Jay Lethal, is the company going to have a problem with one guy putting another guy over? I know a couple of years ago when Teddy Hart was wrestling in MLW, and he was like their middleweight champ, and he might have been the tag champ also. We were doing a tournament where John Morrison, who at the time was, I'm not sure if it was like Lucha Underground or, you know, what, or Impact. He was probably like the Impact champion. And, you know, Teddy was like, oh, well, you know, MLW is not real happy if I got to put over John. And we ended up having a, you know, turn it into a three-way when initially it was going to end up, or it was going to be a tag match. And that's what the problem is going to be moving forward. Now, us doing a joint show and getting along with people, just like we did with GCW, yeah, no doubt about it. But GCW is their own company. They've kind of built themselves. They basically took Ring of Honor's spot, and they positioned themselves as, you know, a touring company that that Ring of Honor stopped doing. Impact's a TV company, so they're kind of totally different. And then AEW is, you know, the different brand of style of wrestling that's a TV company that, you know, is going with WWE. Now, AEW makes a relationship with New Japan, and Ring of Honor looked like they were going to be doing something with GCW, from what I understand. That's why the Briscoes came in. And, you know, that was not like, hey, guys, you can go work anywhere. We're going to close up shop. Like, literally, that decision was made very quickly because the Briscoes just showed up. And I thought that, and then when I talked to some people, they were like, no, the plan was for, you know, GCW and Ring of Honor to do things together. So I'm assuming Sinclair, you know, put the kibosh on it because, you know, as much as people like tax write-offs, there was not a lot going on, and they were starting to, you know, lose their grip. Because now the super cool indie guys were working GCW and they weren't the Ring of Honor guys. And now it opens up a position for guys like, you know, Jay Lethal and the Briscoes and Kenny King and Bandito and Roosh and all those guys. They can kind of go wherever they want and they can command a much better price than they could 6 months ago because those guys were unavailable to pretty much everybody on the independent scene. So it's crazy because you take those guys that have been released and counting Ring of Honor and WWE, you can start another super fed.
Yeah, you could.
Because there's so many guys. It's like, look at it from the last time we did the Mecca into the time now, which is crazy. The fact of the matter is that three of our four main guys, Kevin Cross, Shane Strickland, John Morrison, who were like four of our main dudes, are now available to us.
Yep. And so there you go. I mean, there's an infinite amount of possibilities out there, Fish. I mean, I think it's a pretty exciting time for wrestling.
Oh, absolutely. The talent pool is deeper than it's ever been. The product being put out there, because there's so many companies out there that are showing their wares, the product is just getting better and better. And then you can go to something like Reality of Wrestling or the FSW of Vegas Wrestling and see the stars of tomorrow doing it now. And what they're learning from you guys is absolutely incredible because you can see how great these guys are going to be.
And it's a lot better product, too. I remember being younger and going to some independent cards and being like, there's some guys there that were okay. And it was,
believe me, there's a lot of crap indie promotions out there.
And there still are, but it's, yeah.
And there's tons, you know, the FSWs, Reality of Wrestling, the GCWs, you know, the Warrior Wrestling, AAW, like you can literally, well, you need more than two hands, but you know what I'm saying? There's, you know, it's probably 10 to 1 because so many people will come out, and we've seen it here in Vegas. They'll run a show and they'll pay to have a few decent guys on it and the rest of the card sucks. And, you know, that's why at least nowadays, the independents have gotten a lot more love from those old WWE fans, which I always credited NXT because the NXT once you watched NXT, it made you realize, hey, there were other companies. Because, you know, WWE never mentioned, hey, we got these guys from Ring of Honor.
No, they did
and
not.
This guy came from Impact.
Yeah, I mean, if it weren't for Ring of Honor, WWE would
not have most of their talent.
No, they would not. Well, you know, it's funny that, of course, you mentioned Shane Strickland and mentioned John Morrison, because the axe fell again. Another guillotine over at WWE. And let's break that down real quick.
Happened right during the Booker T seminar. My son sent me a message like, holy crap, look who got released.
Xavier Woods was actually on TV on G4 at the time. And they had a video of him getting the text message about what happened. So here was the next crushing blow.
And after you get this up, I have a question for Joe about this. So go ahead.
Okay, great. So the people that have been released from WWE, John Morrison has been let go. The entire rest of Hit Row, Isaiah Scott, Ashante Adonis, and Top Dollar are gone after being up on the main roster for a month and losing, of course, B-Fab early on. Tegan Knox.
Poor guys. Now they got to have a 90-day now they got to wait 90 days because they were on the roster for 2 weeks.
And that was my question for you, since you brought it up. There's a rumor going around that one of the reasons, or the only reason they were brought up, is so that Vince McMahon could put them under a 90-day compete, a no-compete, instead of a 30-day no-compete. Do you believe that? Is there any truth to that rumor? Do you know anything about that?
I don't know anything about it, but that, to me, I can't believe that would be that big a deal. I can't believe Vince McMahon would be like, yeah, we got to make sure that Top Dollar doesn't get to appear on an indie show for 60 days because they're still paying him. So that would surprise me. You know what I mean? It's like my theory on more of that is, you know what? These are Triple H's guys. They're okay. We got the New Day. We got these other groups and factions. We don't need them. Get rid of them.
Fair enough.
Yep. So Tegan Knox, also kind of the same situation, had just been pulled up from NXT. She is gone. Drake Maverick gets his second pink slip from WWE. And by the way, he put up a really cool video. If you haven't been on his Twitter, check it out. And it was funny. Disco Inferno actually commented after he had seen that video saying, dude, get out of wrestling. Do some acting while you're young. You're too talented. Just go do something else.
Tara Valkyrie, Frankie Monet, whatever you want to call her, absolutely blasted WWE and its fans.
And she and John Morrison have a reason that they should be really upset. I'll tell you about that in a sec. Jackson Ryker also gone and Shane Thorne also gone. Kind of not a surprise that both of those guys were let go, really not being used at all. Shane Thorne was unfortunately one of those people that got stuck in Retribution, which was one of the worst.
Yeah, I mean,
you should have just seen the look on Fish's face right now.
I mean, Retribution, you know, Mia Yim gone, Shane Thorne gone. The only ones left are Mace, T-Bar, and Mustafa.
Yeah, Dijak's hanging on. He's a big, talented dude, but
he's too good to let go.
There's a lot of big, talented dudes.
Yeah, very much so.
But I've always liked him. No doubt.
You know, Donovan Dijak, you know, is a guy who could be, you know, a big deal, but, you know, so was Kevin Cross.
But so he had that whole series of matches with Keith Lee, which was absolutely amazing down in NXT, and now now Keith Lee is gone.
Isn't that unbelievable?
It's ridiculous. But what were you going to say? I don't know about Tara Valkyrie and John Morrison.
When they signed Tara, she and John Morrison actually moved down to Florida. They packed everything up and moved down there so that they could, you know, to make it easier for her to be working at NXT, and then they let Tara go, and then they let them both, and then they let them both go.
So they got their house in LA. She was messaging about how she's got to go back or whatever. It's like John left for one reason, and John left to make that money on the way out, you know, because he knew he only had a few years left. And unfortunately, all these guys that were like WWE mainstays. I remember having a conversation with Matt Hardy, and Matt Hardy worked our show basically 2.5 weeks before he was the surprise with his brother at WrestleMania. And we were talking, and at that point, the Dudleys had come back, and they kind of buried them after a little short run. And basically, they were brought in to put over people. And then Matt was like, yeah, it's going to be totally different. You know, I'm going to have some say, and I'm going to have this. And they brought him in the big fanfare, and then quickly Matt Hardy and the Hardys were just jobbers. And it was no different. John Morrison came in. I think they won the tag titles with The Miz, like, you know, 3 weeks into them there. But he was positioned, you know, just basically as a guy to put over talent. And it isn't like he was 45 years old. You know, John Morrison could still go. And he had a built-in fan base. But they don't care. You know, it's like, here, take the money. And I know it was really good money that he took. And, you know, he expected to be there for the entire time. So, yeah, I get it. You know, they could cut 30 more guys tomorrow, and their roster will still be jam-packed.
Yeah, we were just talking, Fish and I were just talking about that before we went on the air, that you could probably, if you wanted to, clear out another 40% of the WWE's roster at least, and Vince wouldn't miss a beat. He really wouldn't. But I think, you know, and that's interesting. And Fish, you know, let me get your thoughts on this first. Is if you are a wrestler now and you see what's going on, and you're basically seeing that a WWE contract doesn't mean a whole lot anymore. You know, if they're not satisfied with you, they're not going to, you know, you're going to get your walking papers. And you also see characters getting and gimmicks getting destroyed, and people, you know, just the changes that get made and the inconsistency. The money's there, but, you know, do you think about it now before you go to WWE?
I think absolutely you have to, and especially now that there is an AEW, which is on the rise, and yes, it's not as big as WWE, and it may never be as big, but if I can keep my, for lack of a better term, integrity as a wrestler, I would almost rather do that for a little less money and be happy, which is what, like, Jon Moxley did, which is why he left, because
it wasn't for a little less money. That's the thing.
But yeah, but not for Jon Moxley. But if you're someone who's not on that level quite yet, and you're making that choice, it probably would be for a little less money.
Yeah, and Joe, you're on the business side of this, so you know what generally people are making, and you know the step up that it is to WWE. You know, but are wrestlers out there feeling like, okay, you know, man, that it's a shot to go to WWE, but boy, it's a huge risk. Is that the kind of feeling that's out there right now?
Absolutely. You know, I'm good friends with one guy who's in that position, that his contract's coming up next year, and his lifelong dream was to be with WWE, you know, and I talked with him recently, and, you know, he's looking for that AEW contract, because you have no idea what they're going to do with your character. And it's like, in all honesty, if I ran WWE, I would have cut 40 more guys, because I wouldn't run the brand extension. It wouldn't matter. Like, why shouldn't Randy Orton be on both shows? So now you have that influx of those 20 or 30 other people that they're paying good money to be on, one on Raw and one on SmackDown. Would the ratings be better if, you know, there was one champion instead of there's, you know, it's a night of champions, and you basically have to have pre-show matches to fit all the champions on that show because there's 37 belts.
Is WWE still the dream of most people?
I think it is, because in a lot of cases, you know, just like the fans, you know, it takes a long time for a fan who's grown up on it to, you know, stop watching it. They may watch the alternatives, but they're so emblazoned with that. You know, as me, you know, I was watching Bruno Sammartino and going to the Madison Square Garden and Nassau Coliseum to see that guy. So in my heart, I always have, you know, making sure I know exactly what's going on in WWE. And, you know, the other stuff, it's all good and it's all great. and you always want to see WWE succeed. And for how many years can we say, oh, man, WWE sucks, the storylines are terrible, you know? Yep. Back in the day, there was 25 stars. Now there was 25 superstars. Now there's 75 guys.
And Joe, I'm sorry, Joe, I hate to cut in, but we got to get to a commercial break. Here, but hey, we are having a blast here on the Mark Hoke Show talking about all this, and we'll continue this discussion. But of course, we've got Survivor Series, all sorts of other crazy stuff going on in the world of professional wrestling, and the Rock discussion on the Tonight Show with Roman Reigns. Is he going to be at Survivor Series? What do you think? We'll talk about that as we get ready to bring it on here. More action from the Mark Hoke Show. I'm just kind of hanging out for the music, so I can... There we go. Now I feel better. Mike's in there doing the thing. Mike Jones. More of the Mark Hoke Show when we return. Myself, Fish, and Joe in just a couple of minutes. Stick around here at KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM. We'll be right back.
...101.5 FM, 720 AM, KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. You're listening to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Vegas, The Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Now, here again is Mark Hoke.
Oh, baby. It's Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. We are not doing monster trucks. We're doing professional wrestling here on the Mark Hoke Show on KDWN. 101.5 FM, 720 AM. The talk of Las Vegas. They can't get away from me. They just flip the dial and there's no escape. It's either Jesus or me. Which one are you going to do?
I'm so not getting into that conversation.
Andrew Fishbane and Joe DeFalco of Future Stars of Wrestling on the show with me here. And I, just to kind of put a bow tie on this, how about just a regular bow? Let's do that. On this discussion about WWE, I almost think that Vince is getting to the point where he wants to make this about the WWE brand instead of individuals. He doesn't want to base it around, okay, you know, if I have Bruno Sammartino, as an example, who was the champ for 10 years, if Bruno leaves, what do I do? If Hulk Hogan leaves, what do I do? If John Cena leaves, what do I do? I think that they are trying to center this as more of you're buying the logo.
I think it's been like that for a very long time.
It is, but he's still in that same position because now it's if Roman Reigns leaves, what do I do? Because right now Roman Reigns is the best thing going in the WWE.
Right, but also look at what their ratings are and things like that. They're making their money because they've got a phenomenal TV deal. They're making their money because Saudi Arabia pays them tons of money. They're not making their money because they're going out and doing house shows and generating huge income. They're not going out there because their ratings are so good.
No,
you know, they've built their brand to where it is the brand.
And that's that's the problem with the show itself is because the money right now is so good for them, it doesn't matter what product they put out there because
right, and that won't change.
Because, right, because he's got the money in his pockets. So it's like it doesn't matter now.
Yep, that is correct.
I don't have to strive to be better than anybody because we already got the money.
Now you're putting up they're building a physical Hall of Fame, new headquarters, the whole thing. You know,
here's a theory that I've heard. There's no basis to it or whatever, but it thins down the bottom line. It shows way more profit. And then when Vince McMahon sells the company, you know, that's the spot. Like, I think it will always stay in the family, but I think it's kind of would be like a UFC deal. You know, you sell to Disney, you sell to Peacock, whatever it is, but your main crew basically runs it, just like in the UFC. They made all their money and tons of money, and Dana White is still running the show. They just don't own it anymore. And I can see that with WWE. You know, Vince is closing in on being 80 years old. You know what? Let's get that $1 billion, and we're still going to run the company.
Yep. So we'll see where all that turns out. I did want to get a little bit into AEW before we start talking Survivor Series. A little bit of the fallout from what happened in Full Gear. Of course, Kenny Omega, and the stories have come out about how bad a shape he was in wrestling that match. Couldn't lift 40 pounds on one of his shoulders. Was getting hernia surgery and all sorts of stuff. He's going to be gone for a while. But if that is the case, that Kenny was that messed up, that he's getting about 3 or 4 surgeries, amazing performance from him last week. I mean, to get through all that, that's something else, Fish.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm going to say. It's pretty incredible that he would do that, and it pretty shows his dedication to both the company and the industry that he loves.
And that's the only reason I lost my prediction by picking Omega, because if I would have, you know, if he wasn't so hurt, we know he would have, you know, won. But they had no choice to put it on Paige. So.
We all got that wrong, by the way. And I heard on a couple of the different shows saying, I can't believe anybody picking Omega. And I think we were all thinking, maybe we just drag this out a little bit more and give Hangman even more sympathy and a win maybe over a CM Punk or a Bryan Danielson down the road for the title. But, yeah, we missed that one. Boy, that hurts.
But is he going to be is Hangman just going to be a transitional champion until Danielson gets the belt?
And that's the interesting situation is that, and I think that's what I was worried about, was does Hangman kind of get stuck in the with Punk and Danielson, all these other guys that are there, Cole, is Hangman Page just going to be kind of a, you know, we plan to give him the title. We're going to give it to him for a few months and then, you know, let's get him out of the way. I think that's a tricky situation for AEW handling that booking. Joe, what do you think?
I'm kind of both ways on that. Like, I can see them doing it and maybe bring it back to Page down the line, but I think they got to see, you know, how it works out. You know, everybody is a transitional champion. Now, if you get the job done, well, then you keep it longer. You know, I'm in the same position. You know, I give a guy an opportunity. I put the belt on him. And then we see how the reaction is, the matches, how things progress. You know, there's certain guys who catch fire. And, you know, Paige is that one, I guess, perceived as total homegrown talent, because in Ring of Honor, he never got to a high level as high as, you know, what people expected, but he was kind of that rising star. So he was that young guy when he left the AEW, like, oh, this is going to be the dude. Now, you know, let's see him go out there and see how he does against a Danielson and or whoever he's going to wrestle. And if the crowd stays behind him, you know, I can see them keeping it for a while. But if they see, you know, the ratings number, like, oh, Paige is on, and normally the highest rated segment is now the lowest rated segment, and everybody's, you know, clamoring when, you know, Danielson or CM Punk's on, hey, you know what? Again, it's a business decision. We can't all I can do is promise giving you the belt. How long we keep it on you, you know, that's always going to be decided by the numbers.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to see where this ring goes. People like Paige.
I mean, his first defense is Bryan Danielson, correct?
It's looking like it.
And that puts Paige in a tough spot, and it puts Tony Khan and AEW in a tough spot.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting decision to see what happens.
You know, they always do those swervy finishes, and AEW does more of those swervy finishes than WWE. It's like when those main events, you know, the Young Bucks are coming out. You know, if you had a drinking game, how many times there's interference, you'd
be hammered before. Yeah.
By the way, I'm just going to say this. Dave Meltzer, I don't know what he was smoking, but if you saw his fight, his ratings for Full Gear, I think he was giving out a few too many stars. Just a few. The Young Bucks, Cole, and Jurassic Park, or
Jurassic Express
match, he gave that a 5-star rating. And, like, it was a good match, but wow. Come on, Dave. You raised, I think he lowered the bar a little bit when you got Flair and Steamboat being a 4. And that's a five.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Dave, come on, man. Come on, come on. Tone it down. I know you love AEW, but let's yeah. Yeah. But one other interesting situation that happened this week on AEW television, Maxwell Jacob Friedman was having a little chat with everybody and running down the locker room, and just a certain guy named CM Punk just walked out. MJF tried to shake his hand. Punk didn't even say a word to him and walked away. We could be seeing a Punk-MJF feud. How excited are you guys about this? I don't know about you, but I'll watch that and the promos leading up to that match for months. I'm good.
Only if MJF actually wins the feud will I care.
Yeah, and I will say this, and this is no knock on their wrestling skill, but the promos will be better than the wrestling match.
Ooh, that's harsh. As I tell you, MJF and Darby Allin had, in my opinion, had the match of the night. They were fantastic.
No, absolutely. But the promo skills of MJF and the promo skills of CM Punk are better than their mat skills.
Ooh. Joe, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. Okay. You know, that's what gets you excited about it. You know, matches are matches. You know, you need to have that inner working of the fans being so engaged in it. And that's the one thing. When I think of MJF, I don't think, oh, man, what a great wrestling match I'm going to get. You know, you're going to get a good match. You're going to get a good match, but the story that leads up to it and hopefully the story that ends is that MJF finally gets over on the big star, which, you know, I don't understand how he didn't get over on Chris Jericho. You know, the guy's 50 years old. You know, MJF's supposed to be the future.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see where that ends up. And I agree. I think it would be great to see MJF get over on that. You can always bring Punk back around at some point, but
something's going to happen, but he needs to walk out of there with the feud. It was kind of like with Bray Wyatt and John Cena. They built this whole thing up.
Yeah, they killed that one. Yeah.
They had three matches. Bray Wyatt won one. It was because the family wouldn't let John Cena escape from the cage. And I remember, I think it was their last man standing match. It was fantastic. And, you know, again, I don't remember that many matches anymore, you know. But I remember Bray Wyatt and Cena was so good. And it was like, why was it so hard to just let Bray win?
It was the same thing with Nexus and Cena. And they absolutely should have had Nexus win that match.
Yeah,
you know, I thought Barrett should have been like a WWE champion.
I absolutely 100%. You know, he did get derailed with the injury,
but still, he's.
But yeah, that I agree with you totally there. Those were two of the biggest travesties that we've ever seen in wrestling, I think. But speaking of travesties in wrestling, Survivor Series is coming up. Joe and I are simpatico. This is pretty interesting. But we've got Survivor Series coming up tonight. It supposedly is
Brand Supremacy.
One of the big four.
My goodness, yes.
Oh, they have lost their minds. But I did tell Fish how I'd fix Survivor Series.
Fish thinks they're gonna, Dominic Mysterio is going to turn, and that's why they're going to lose.
That's absolutely correct. That's what's happening. Dang it. He's not even on the card.
It's supposedly going to be happening here soon, but those were some reports that came out. But Survivor Series.
And then next week it says Dominic Mysterio released from WWE.
I was just going to say that.
Oh, could you imagine that? Could you imagine if they released Dominic but not Rey?
Or what if they release Rey and not Dominic?
Yeah, that would be bigger.
Well, Rey would be like, I got better things to do. I'm good. I've done my time. But that would be harsh. So let's take a look at this card coming up tonight. Are you guys excited about Survivor Series? Let me ask that first.
Not at all.
Joe, are you excited about this?
If you didn't tell me Survivor Series was today, I wouldn't have known.
Well, there's the answer.
The Royal Rumble is Royal Rumble and WrestleMania are the two that I get excited about.
So, Survivor Series tonight. Let's run down through this, and I guess we'll get some predictions as we go along too. They threw in a 25-man battle royal 2 days ago.
Oh, thank goodness! Can't have enough of those battle royals.
Just pop that in there. No surprises or anything like that. They have listed everybody that's in the match. I don't know if you guys, did either of you guys get to take a look at who's in this match?
Oh, I've seen who's in
this match. I heard it was called the Future Endeavors match. Whoever doesn't win is going to be released.
So 24 releases coming up.
See, that would have been the best way to do it.
25 enter, one man leaves with a contract.
And a loser leaves WWE Battle Royal where everybody leaves but one guy. Yeah, and, who would have thought that you'd have a Battle Royal with Cross and John Morrison and Strickland and all these guys that got released? That'd be like an amazing match that people would want to see.
That could be the main event without question.
If you lose this match, you get a free airline ticket down to Jacksonville and a 1 hour conference with Tony Khan. That's not a bad consolation prize. Anyway, who do you guys like in this? Do you see anything interesting happening? I got to give James credit last night. He came up with a good idea, but I'll save it to give you guys the floor first. Fish.
It makes the most sense to have a guy that they have completely untouchable and almost win it. Because the way they built him up, but the other person I talked about this before we went on the air. The way they've set it up to me, it seems like they're setting it up for some reason for Sami Zayn to win it. So that's what I'm going to say wins it. Sami Zayn.
What do you think, Joe?
I don't think Sami Zayn's got a shot.
Well, you're disagreeing with Fish then. Well, tough guy who's going to win it.
I think he's the guy that's going to be kind of heading to AEW, kind of like the Owens thing. And it's like, you got to give me the whole card to first off, because I'm not even sure.
Who's in it?
Pretty much, if you're not in a match in Survivor Series, you're in the Battle Royal.
Right. Who's going to win the Battle Royal?
Yeah, who's going to win the Battle Royal?
I couldn't even tell you who was in it, other than Sami Zayn right now.
Well, I think there's a couple interesting possibilities. Obviously, you could have an AJ Styles almost clash in that. I think that would be
the Styles clash.
AJ's in the battle royal. Huh?
AJ's in the battle royal, which is sad.
So there's a Styles clash.
But
I'll say they'll put over almost.
But I like this idea from James last night. He picked Montez Ford to win. Talking about giving him a push, Montez Ford winning this battle royal could be pretty interesting. I kind of like that idea. I'm still picking AJ to win this thing, but
I think almost like I said, I think with the push they've given almost, there's almost no way he can't win. But I thought it was too easy a person to say.
Yeah, but
the problem is usually in battle royals, the biggest guy gets taken out by 11 people and they make it a big deal.
Yeah, that's very true. That's what they used to do to Andre the Giant all the time.
Yep.
Yeah, even when the football players took him out.
Yep. So we got a battle royal. Damian Priest, U.S. champ, takes on Shinsuke Nakamura. Fish.
There's no question. Damian Priest wins his match.
Joe, who's winning this one?
Oh yeah, you know I saw the stat. I think Nakamura's had the one defense in like 96 days.
Yeah.
It was like, again, why even have the belt? How about you have either a U.S. champion or an Intercontinental champion? Intercontinental champion has more prestige. One champion, you're done. It's like,
I think Rick Boogs turns. No, I'm sorry.
Oh, Jesus. I am taking... Fish is just dying in here. Rick Boogs.
Sorry.
Boogsomania, run it wild.
I missed Survivor Series on Thanksgiving night myself.
I miss that, too. I will also take Damian Priest on this. We got RK-Bro, Randy Orton and Riddle taking on the Usos. The tag champs of the two brands meet up. Joe, who is going to come out victorious in this brand dominance tag team match?
I'll tell you, that's like one match that I'm interested in. You know, it's like those guys have never kind of met before.
So who's going to win?
I think they got it. You can't put the belts on the Usos for the 9 millionth time. It's like, let these guys run with it. You know what I mean? That's one of the few tag teams that they've put together. You know, they brought in those 40 of them from the NXT that nobody cares about, the Viking guys, and, you know.
The Viking guys.
That's a team.
I was a big fan of them guys before when they were in Ring of Honor.
I liked them.
So it's like, they got something, obviously. With RK-Bro, it's like you would think everything's going to be set up for their breakup, and I don't think it's nowhere near ready. So there's no doubt I would keep the belts on RK-Bro.
Well, they're neither of the belts are on the line. They're just wrestling each other. But yeah, but so you're taking RK-Bro Fish.
First of all, I want to congratulate Randy Orton. He's breaking the record of most pay-per-view matches when he enters the match tonight. But I absolutely think RK-Bro wins this. I think there is there is absolutely no question the way they're building it up and the strength they are giving Randy Orton to be like the hero of Matt Riddle. I love RK-Bro in this.
I am taking the Usos. I don't care.
I'll tell you what. The line's not too much on either side. It's minus 200 on RK-Bro plus 150 on the Usos. Mm. Pretty light.
There you go.
I would take RK-Bro. I might actually have to risk some dough on that.
All right. I'm taking the Usos. Let's go to the men's Survivor Series match. We got a 5-on-5 battle. Team Raw, Rollins, Balor, Kevin Owens, Bobby Lashley, and Austin Theory taking on Team SmackDown with Drew McIntyre, Jeff Hardy, King Woods, Happy Corbin, and Sheamus. Who wins this battle for brand dominance amongst the men? Fish.
I think Team Raw wins, and I think Bobby Lashley is the reason why. I think they continue to raise Lashley's profile. They took the belt off of him, but I think they want to keep his profile raised, so I think Bobby Lashley is the dominant one there, and Team Raw wins.
Joe?
I think they need to have Drew McIntyre's star risen again on SmackDown, so he needs to come out on top.
That's funny. I had mentioned that to Mark before the break, that McIntyre needs a nice run.
So
he's kind of been, you know, put on the sidelines for a while. So it's like, if he's the reason that the big draft pick of going to SmackDown is Drew, then, you know, you need to give him something. You know, I don't perceive it as a signature victory, but WWE would. So
I will also, for the same rationale, take Team SmackDown. I think Drew McIntyre and King Woods will emerge victorious in this match.
I think it's going to be 1-on-5, and Drew's going to eliminate everybody.
Wow. The Glasgow Kiss.
Oh, good Lord. Women's Survivor Series match. And we got about 4 minutes, just so you guys know.
I'm going to the bathroom break for this
stop
one.
Stop it. Team Raw. Bianca Belair, Rhea Ripley, Liv Morgan, Carmella, and Queen Zelina taking on Team SmackDown with Sasha Banks, Shayna Baszler, Shotzi, Natalya, and Toni Storm, who was added to the match. Joe, quickly, who
I think there's going to be an attack backstage, and Eva Marie is going to win it all.
Oh, my God. Between you and Eva Marie and him and Dominic Mysterio. Get out of the rut.
I'm done.
Fish.
I'm agreeing with Joe on this one. Eva Marie wins it. No, I think there's no question. The way they built Bianca Belair to be like the greatest thing since sliced bread, I think the Team Raw wins because of Bianca Belair.
I'm sorry, Joe, you didn't get a pick. I apologize. Who wins the match?
That was my prediction.
That's okay. Well,
I'm sticking with it.
Well,
I like the Eva Marie pick, though.
Off the board. I agree with Team Raw, but I think Liv Morgan will be the one that's going to be coming out on top in this for her push on against Becky Lynch. I'm saving the women's match for last. Big E and Roman Reigns duking it out.
You're not going to have Roman Reigns lose a second time. He just lost to King Woods, not this past week, but a week ago on SmackDown for his first loss in almost 2 years. He's not going to lose again. I think he beats Big E.
Joe?
I think it's horrible that Big E, after they've given him the belt and everything, has to come out there and lose. Why can't, like, the Usos and the New Day kind of reunite for one day and it leads to a giant schmoz?
Yeah, I'm going to take Roman Reigns as well in this.
He can't lose. So,
but a giant schmoz.
I'm hoping they go the other way and they just do a schmoz. And I'm not a fan of schmozes. So.
I just like the word schmoz.
All right. And then probably the most intriguing match because of everything that's been happening outside of the ring, Becky Lynch taking on Charlotte Flair. This is going to be, they apparently had not decided how they're going to finish this match.
Yeah, it's going to be a shoot fight. That's how they're going to finish it.
This could be fun. Joe, who wins this match?
Well, you know, I don't know if it's all for show, but it sure seems like there's a lot of personal heat between the two. But the one thing we know is Charlotte Flair will win 117 titles, so she has to lose 116 times. So why not move the belt again? She's held it for almost 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, well, I don't think the belt's on the line. So it's just champion versus champion.
Then definitely Charlotte's losing.
Charlotte is losing, so he's taking Becky Lynch, sir.
I'm going to agree with the Becky Lynch prediction, and I think the biggest reason is because of the backstage heat that is on Charlotte right now, and I think that her punishment will be losing to Becky Lynch.
I will also take Becky Lynch in this match. Now, we do have a couple minutes, so the last thing we'll speculate about at Survivor Series is Roman Reigns was talking about The Rock on The Tonight Show. Guys, does The Rock make an appearance tonight at Survivor Series to pep this thing up? Fish.
It is the 25th anniversary of his first appearance at Survivor Series, so that's why the whole thing came up, because it was the 25th anniversary of The Rock making his, I guess it was his debut at Survivor Series.
Okay, I'll say this. Does he show up and does he get involved?
Yes, he does. He's part of the big schmoz between Big E and Roman Reigns. And I think he absolutely gets involved, and I think it sets up a match at WrestleMania for The Rock and Roman Reigns.
Joe, what do you think? Is The Rock going to be diving in the ring?
I think how crazy would it be if there's this giant schmoz, they're facing off, and then all of a sudden The Rock's music hits.
This is sounding like Schmoz series.
Schmozfest.
Instead of Survivor Series. I think The Rock shows up as well tonight and gets involved somehow. So I don't know if he's going to get involved in the match, but I think we may have a little showdown between the two of them. So we'll see where that all ends up. Guys?
Brock Lesnar, anywhere near?
Not yet.
Because apparently he's
already
booked.
At SmackDown.
It's already booked that, he's going to be at SmackDown. I think it's either December 1st or December 10th.
December 10th.
That's the one in L.A. And that's part of the reason he's going to be there is because it's in front of all the Fox studio heads. So that's why he's going to be at that SmackDown.
All right. So we're just waiting for the music to play. There we go. All right. Guys, another great show. Thank you for joining us, everybody, on KDWN here on The Mark Hoke Show. Make sure you get those podcasts, markhokeshow.podbean.com. The one with Booker T still, if you haven't listened to it, check it out. We lost Joe. MarkHokeShow.com for the website, at Mark Hoke Show on Twitter, and Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show. Fish, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Have a great schmoz.
All right. We'll see you guys next time on The Mark Hoke Show. Have a great Sunday. Survivor Series tonight and Impact. We'll see you later.